From the land where marmots are starting to emerge from their dens, where I saw about 70 bluebirds a few days ago, and where a black bear left her den for a little bit, and her newborn cubs were spotted last week, this is That Scott Guy You Know and Love with a new episode of This Week in Yellowstone. What's up, everybody? This week in Yellowstone National Park, I give an update on what's closed in the park, share a quick blurb about the bison hunt, and then jump into the meat of this week's episode. I talk about the first wolves to roam the park in 60 years, share some tips on how to acclimatize yourself to Yellowstone, and also share a cool place to hike just outside of the park. Of course, I also share the weather forecast, road conditions, and pretty much everything else you need to be ready for This Week in Yellowstone. So before I jump in, the standard disclaimer, I might miss a few things, so if there's anything else you'd like to know, please just reach out. I also mentioned park locations casually, so a quick search might help if you're unfamiliar with some of the places I mention. Also, this report only covers the drivable areas of the park. And then one more thing, this podcast is a true labor of love. I don't get paid to do it. I don't have any sponsors. I'm doing this because I love sharing the park. So if you'd like to show your appreciation, shoot me a message, subscribe, share with a friend. If you want to do more, I have guidebooks for sale covering hiking and wildlife watching in the park. And I also give hiking tours in Yellowstone that go beyond the boardwalks. So if you're interested in seeing the park more or supporting me, you can check out all of that more at my website, outdoor-society.com. Okay, let's get to the news. So the park is mostly closed. The only way to enter the park this week in a vehicle is the north entrance in Gardner. The road between Gardner and Cook City, Montana is open all year, and you can still access Mammoth, Roosevelt Junction, Lamar Valley, and the rest of the Northern Range. So I bring this up because as a guide in the park, I have a lot of people contacting me right now asking about tours, and they're staying in places like Big Sky or out in West Yellowstone. To reach Gardner from Big Sky, you'll have to drive about 126 miles one way, which will take you around 2.5 hours. So, you know, that's going to be, 252 miles and 5 hours of driving. And to reach Gardner from West Yellowstone, it's a 165-mile drive and it'll take you over 3 hours each way. That's just to reach Gardner. Lamar Valley is about another hour or so away from Gardner. So if you're headed out, just know that. Other than that news, it's been super slow news-wise in the park. There's an annual bison hunt occurring outside the park right now, and it's done by the Confederated Tribes who have treaty rights to do so. But so far, the hunt has been very slow, as few bison are actually leaving the park. Bison are also being quarantined as they leave the park's northern entrance, and they're being tested for brucellosis. If they test positive, they're put down. If they test negative, some continue to be quarantined and will eventually be relocated to lands and tribes that are hoping to restore their bison populations. The reason they aren't allowed to roam free is because of the ranching lobby, and while I could go more into this, I want to keep this episode short and keep it kind of positive. So just know that there is a bison hunt going on outside of the park. You may see that going on if you're visiting. The experience of the week. So I'm not sure if this is really an experience, but I wasn't sure where else to put this information, and since it's a slow week, I thought I'd plug it in here and see how it goes. So this is the year of the wolf in Yellowstone National Park, as wolves were reintroduced to the region in 1995, almost at 85, but no, 1995, so 30 years ago. Throughout the year, I'll be sharing some wolf history, and this week is an important week for those wolves of 1995. 14 wolves in 1995 were captured in Canada, translocated to Yellowstone, and placed in acclimation pens for 10 weeks. There were three original holding pens, the Crystal Creek, the Rose Creek, and the Soda Butte pen. After 10 weeks in the pen, the wolves were soft released into the wild. The soft release is what I'll be discussing today. On March 21st, March 22nd, and March 27th of 1995, the acclimation pens were opened for the wolves. I use the word opened with quotation marks here because of the method of which was used. Instead of just opening a gate for the wolves to walk out in and saying, see you later, rangers and biologists worked together to find a good place to cut a hole in the fence and then let the wolves slowly test out the outside world by sneaking in and out. After all, they'd been captured, flown into a new country, and then placed inside a pen, albeit a large one, for 10 weeks. On March 21st, the Crystal Creek pen was opened. The next day, March 22nd, the Rose Creek pen was opened. And then, on March 27th, the Soda Butte pen was opened. Despite having freedom first, the Crystal Creek wolves did not exit their pen until March 31st. The five Soda Butte wolves didn't exit their pen until the 19th of March. The smallest pack of wolves, the Rose Creek wolves, were the first wolves to roam the wilds of Yellowstone in 60 years. The group of wolves, numbering only three, had two wolves leave their pen to explore on March 24th, 1995. So this year, on March 24th, will mark the 30th year that wolves have been roaming around in Yellowstone National Park. So all of this information is from the 1995-1996 Annual Wolf Report, found on the Yellowstone National Park's website. Highly suggest checking those out. They're fun reads, and you can kind of get to know wolf history really well. My tip of the week, being prepared for the park's elevation. Depending on where you're coming from, adjusting to elevation in Yellowstone may be tough. Most everywhere you will be in the park this week will be above 6,000 feet above sea level. Mammoth sits at 6,200 feet, Lamar Valley is 6,400 feet, and Cook City is around 8,000 feet. Even Gardner is 5,259 feet above sea level, just 21 feet under being a mile high. The main issue with being higher in elevation is there's slightly less oxygen. At real altitude in the mountains, the barometric pressure of the atmosphere is much lower than in sea level environments. The result is that oxygen molecules are spreading further apart, lowering the oxygen content of each breath. As a result, the reduced availability of oxygen in the air reduces the blood oxygen saturation in the body. As the percentage of oxygen in the body goes down, the body struggles to efficiently deliver oxygen to tissues, muscles, and even the brain. If you're coming from sea level to Mammoth, you'll be experiencing a decrease in oxygen effectiveness of 4.3%. It's definitely not the 14% you lose at the top of Mount Everest, but it's still noticeable to the majority of visitors to the park, mainly in shortness of breath and lack of energy. While you probably won't notice much of an elevation change if you stay in the car the whole time, the minute you do any physical activity, you could be feeling it. To counteract the elevation difference during activity, I have a few tips. The first few are pretty easy. Get plenty of rest, stay hydrated, give your body energy with good foods, and move a little slower. One tip I do tell a lot of people when booking tours is that if they can, give themselves a day or two to get used to the elevation before doing a strenuous activity. While this may not always be possible, if you can, definitely consider it. It's going to make the transition easier. Also, if you are going to be doing something physical, one thing I also try and tell people is don't go out drinking heavily the night before. It will impact you more at elevation. The weather for the coming week. For Lamar Valley, this week should start off snowy with highs in the 30s and lows in the teens and 20s. Thursday should be cloudy and a snowy day, getting around an inch of snow. Friday we'll see an inch of snow in the evening, then 2 more inches of snow falling on Saturday morning. Sunday sees sun and temperatures climb into the high 30s with a chance of rain overnight. Monday will be in the 40s, and then highs in Lamar Valley will hit the 50s on Tuesday and Wednesday. Cook City. Cook City will be colder and snowier, seeing a possible total of 9 inches of snow through Monday. Thursday and Saturday are the snowiest days, but the current forecast is also calling for snow on Friday night and Sunday night. Highs will be in the low 30s, and lows will be in the teens and 20s. But by Tuesday, expect things to warm up quickly, with highs reaching the 50s. This will last through at least Wednesday, this warmth that I'm talking about. As always, Gardner will be warmer than Cook City and Lamar. Highs will be in the upper 30s and low 40s through the weekend, with a chance of rain or snow on Thursday, Friday night, and into Saturday and Sunday night into Monday. So the highs on Monday will be in the 50s and continue climbing upwards through Tuesday and possibly hitting the 60s by Wednesday. Now we'll see if these temperatures hold up. As always, the forecast is pretty predictable up to 3 days out, so through this weekend. Then it's kind of a guess to how accurate the forecast is actually going to be. It will be warmer, and it probably will be close to that. So be ready for some warmth this week. So speaking of warmth coming, let's talk about the snowpack. The snowpack for the park is in excellent shape. It's currently hovering around 100% of normal. It's higher than that in some places. It's lower than that in others. But generally, it's a great snowpack right now. With more snow in the forecast through the weekend, it looks like it's going to remain at this level throughout the week. It's going to start dipping probably later next week. So we'll see next week how the snowpack is. So road conditions. The roads this week will be less than ideal the farther east you drive. Expect early morning snow and ice in places, with it melting out by late morning or midday. And that's really until the temperature warms up. That's kind of what you're going to expect when you visit for the next few weeks, is maybe some snow and then it's going to be warm. For up-to-date information, call 307-344-2117 for recorded road information done by the park. Or you can sign up to receive Yellowstone Road Alerts on your cell phone by texting 82190 to the number 888-777. That is 82190 to 888-777. As always, anticipate possible road closures due to inclement weather and dangerous driving conditions. I said last week probably wasn't going to happen. They had to close part of the road last week between Mammoth and like the Blacktail Ponds area for a couple of hours while cars had driven off the road and snow was pretty bad. Camping information. Mammoth Hot Springs is still the only campground in the park and will continue to be so until May. However, camping options are available and will continue to open up outside of the park. If you want a few of those places, just contact me. Happy to tell you some of those places that are open. I could name them now, but it's going to mean nothing. So reach out to me if you're interested. The wildlife watching update. So those of you that are listening to this, congratulations, you get this. I no longer include it on the written version, mainly because I figure out what's going on and then I just talk. So it's in the park yesterday, so that would be the 18th, Tuesday the 18th, and wildlife watching was pretty good. Early in the morning, wolves were visible in multiple spots, mainly near the Blacktail Ponds area, and then hell roaring and out toward Slough Creek. So early in the morning, people were watching those. They've been moving back and forth on that northern side of the park. So if you want to see wolves this coming week, just drive back and forth and look for tour groups and people pulled off looking through spotting scopes. They're active. They're out there. They might be a few miles away, though. You also might be able to see a bear, especially with the weather warming up. The black bear den that I talked about before, that's near the petrified tree, the black bear has been coming out, the sow, the female, and the other day somebody saw the sow come out, she was moving around, and then they looked in, and they could also see two new cubs in the den, which is an awesome thing. Those cubs are brand new, so the warmer the weather, the better chance that things will be active and out there. Otherwise, bears are going to be still not quite out. If you do see one, you're going to be incredibly lucky. I would expect bear sightings to increase in the next 2 to 3 weeks. However, the eagles are putting on a show. Osprey are coming back very soon. There's Rocky Mountain bluebirds all outside the north entrance. I saw about 70 of them on the old Yellowstone Road. So if you drive under the arch leaving the park past the high school and drive the dirt road toward Devil's Slide and Yellowstone Hot Springs, there are a ton of bluebirds out there. In the park, there's also some moose on the move. I saw multiple moose yesterday and should continue to be so. I have only seen a few coyotes, and that's kind of the wildlife update. One more thing to mention. Talking with some people who took a tour from me, and they saw the first marmot of the year out by Mammoth Hot Springs. So keep an eye out for those. They're going to be waking up. Those are the largest animal in Yellowstone that fully hibernates. So that's pretty cool. Pronghorn are moving back into the park. They're currently kind of outside the park in that same area where I just mentioned bluebirds. Other than that, it's going to be a good wildlife watching week. So wake up early, spend some time, scan around, and you never know what you're going to see. If you love what you're hearing on this podcast and want more information on wildlife watching, consider picking up a copy of my wildlife watching guidebook. You can check out my website, outdoor-society.com. Please consider buying the book directly from me, as I make next to nothing when they're sold on Amazon. So that would be really cool if you'd like to. My book will help you see wildlife how I do. I give wildlife tips. I tell you how to scan really well. And also, I want you to feel like a local when you're out. So if you want to pick that up, you can get an ebook copy or a paperback copy. Hiking news and updates. This is not the best time to hike. Now, there is a caveat because it's still a good time to snowshoe and cross-country ski, but we are nearing the end of that season. So if you want one more snowshoe, one more cross-country ski trip, definitely head out now. If you are hiking without those, you're going to be post-holing in snow way too much, and it's not going to be enjoyable at all. My trail of the week. So right now, as I'm saying, hiking isn't enjoyable without snowshoes and cross-country skis, but I still want to give something for hikers. I'm going to be talking about the Yankee Jim Canyon Trail. That is outside the park, it's north of Gardiner, and it's a very rad place along the Yellowstone River. So, accessed from the west side of Yankee Jim Canyon, this trail puts you in the steps of both indigenous populations that call the region home, as well as lets you walk along the original road that led tourists to Yellowstone. Found at the southern end of Paradise Valley, just below Tom Miner Basin, the Yankee Jim Canyon Trail is a trail that nobody aside from a handful of locals wanders. So after locating the trailhead parking lot, which is nothing more than a clearing of dirt along a dirt road, it's unsigned, it's kind of hard to find, I'm going to tell you how to get more information about it in a minute, but once you find that trailhead, the easiest thing to do is to park and walk down the dirt road to the river. Once you reach the river, turn right and walk upstream. Along the way, you'll be above the river, so keep an eye out for wildlife, especially osprey and eagles. You'll want to follow this path for about 1.5 miles. Once you are about 1.2, 1.3 miles, you're going to be in a clearing that is the Sphinx Creek picnic area. You'll also have passed an old cabin, which is really cool. Once beyond that parking area at the 1.5 to 1.6 mile mark, keep an eye out for an old road to the right. It will look more like a boot path at this point than a road, but you'll want to take this path. Along the path, you'll come across interpretive signs as well as old advertisements for Gardiner and Yellowstone spray painted on rocks. This is the original road that led to Yellowstone. This is only about a half mile long, this section of the trail. It'll climb up and then drop down to meet the main path. But it's definitely a hidden gem, and it's something few ever see. It's a very iconic place. My favorite thing is seeing yellow arrows spray painted to kind of tell you where to drive and which way to go that are also pointing to Yellowstone. So it's like yellow rock spray painted, and it's kind of cool. Once you reach the main path after walking this little half-mile section, follow the river downstream, so retrace your steps and go back to the car. In total, it's about 4 miles with about 400 feet of elevation gain. So if you want more information on this hike or other hikes in and out of Yellowstone, please contact me. I have a guidebook specifically for this. It covers 50 of my favorite hikes in the region with something for every month of the year. And I say this like humbly, but it's a truly awesome book that's going to forever change how you hike in the Yellowstone ecosystem. All right, next week. In next week's episode, I will talk about the upcoming biking season, share a cool trail near Mammoth, and give you another tip that should help you get ready for your trip to Yellowstone. Until next week, bye! This Week in Yellowstone is brought to you by the Outdoor Society, because that's my company, and that's where this is hosted.
There are no sponsors. This is a labor of love. So thank you all for listening. Copyright 2025, baby.